Psalm 49. We're going to look together this evening at Psalm 49. Again, I want to encourage you to have your Bible with you, to have your notepad and something to write with as we study God's Word together. We're working through the Gospel of Matthew on Sunday mornings and the Psalm on Sunday evenings. And here we are already at Psalm 49. So I'm going to read through the psalm, and then we will study through it together and see what the Lord has for us this evening. Psalm 49, to the choir master, a psalm of the sons of Korah. Hear this, all peoples. Give ear, all inhabitants of the world, both low and high, rich and poor, together. My mouth shall speak wisdom, the meditation of my heart shall be understanding. I will incline my ear to a proverb, I will solve my riddle to the music of the lyre. Why should I fear in times of trouble, when the iniquity of those who cheat me surrounds me, those who trust in their wealth and boast in the abundance of their riches? Truly no man can ransom another, or give to God the price of his life, for the ransom of their life is costly and can never suffice, that he should live on forever and never see the pit. For he sees that even the wise die. The fool and the stupid alike must perish and leave their wealth to others. Their graves are their homes forever, their dwelling places to all generations. Though they called lands by their own names, man in his pomp will not remain. He is like the beast that perish. This is the path of those who have foolish confidence. Yet after them people approve of their boasts. Like sheep they are appointed for Sheol. Death shall be their shepherd, and the upright shall rule over them in the morning. Their form shall be consumed in Sheol with no place to dwell. But God will ransom my soul from the power of Sheol, for he will receive me. Be not afraid when a man becomes rich, when the glory of his house increases, for when he dies, he will carry nothing away. His glory will not go down after him. For though while he lives, he counts himself blessed, and though you get praise when you do well for yourself, his soul will go to the generation of his fathers, who will never again see light. Man in his pomp, yet without understanding, is like the beast that perish. The deception and truth about wealth. The deception and truth about wealth. Now you may be thinking, well, since this message is about wealth, I can go ahead and turn off the laptop now because I don't have any wealth. Well, before you do that, stop before you do that, because remember the scripture begins by saying, hear all peoples, rich and poor. So if you're not in the rich category and you're like me in the poor category, this message is still for you. And especially for us today. As our economy is struggling, as the government is sending out checks to help people and to subsidize industries and trying to keep things afloat, businesses are closing, people are not able to work, some are therefore not being paid, some are applying for unemployment. We have all these money issues going on. It's a good time to look to God's Word. One of the ways this text proves helpful in our day is that it so decisively so clearly slices right through all of the various deceptions about wealth, and it pointedly raises a very glaring truth that we often do not think about and we often do not want to think about, but it raises that truth before us. It's a truth that we cannot reject, we cannot deny, we cannot avoid. We can't dismiss it, argue it, debate it. Whether we are a believer or an unbeliever, we have to acknowledge this truth. And if we will take this truth to heart, if we will take this truth to heart, it will enable us to rightly view money, to rightly handle money, to rightly live with or without money. And the point is simply this: no matter our status, our economic status, if we are a have or a have not, no matter how much wealth we accumulate in this life, we are going to die. And all of our material possessions, we're going to leave behind. Every single thing we've accumulated in terms of material possessions, we will lose when we die. Now, that's just a fact. But if we will see that fact and understand that fact, we can live better in this life regarding wealth, regarding a lot of other things as well. What will we have left when all the wealth is gone, when we pass from this life and all of our material possessions are gone and all of our money is gone? What do we have left? What will we have beyond the grave, whether we had money or not? Whether we had a large portfolio or no portfolio, what will we have beyond the grave? That's the point. So first of all, our first point tonight is in verses 1 through 4, a call to all. A call to all. So this message is for everyone, not just the wealthy, but also for the poor. Because you see, wealth or money is deceptive whether you have it or not. Money will entrap you whether you have money or whether you do not have money. Money will entice you whether you have lots of it or none of it. So the scripture says, if you're low or if you're high, in verse 2, if you're rich or if you're poor, hear all peoples, hear. Everyone needs to hear this message, the psalmist says. So rich or poor. For those who enjoy extra funds or abundance of wealth or leftovers in the checking or savings accounts, riches can so easily deceive. Money can be so deceptive. It's so easy to attribute financial success to ourselves. When we have some change to spare, it's easy for us to say, well, our frugality, our hard work, our luck of the draw, our wise decisions, we created this portfolio. And if we're not careful, we will fail to see the Lord's granting of money and wealth for His purposes. When we begin to take credit for our possessions and for our money, we begin to use it for our own purposes and we forget the Lord's granting of abundance and His purposes. Pride easily slips into our heart when our bank account is full. We tend to say, look what I have achieved. Not only does pride easily slip in, but also a false sense of security. A sense that because we have this money under our feet, we are secure. That no matter what comes my way, I'm prepared for it. I can handle it because I'm monetarily secure enough to ride out any storm. Sometimes the Lord sends a few storms our way to remind us that's not true. We can have a false sense of security. We can also have a false sense of comfort. That ease easily slips into our heart when we have extra money in our wallets. Because we begin to think, boy, now I can enjoy life. Now I can do the things I've always wanted to do. Now that I can fund my pleasures, now I can really live. And we begin to get a false sense of comfort and life. We can also get a false sense of power. We can have a sense that, well, since I can pay for it, no one has authority over me. I'm the one with the money. I'm the one who calls the shots. I'm only going to do what I want to do when I want to. And often money is used to manipulate others and maneuver others to do our wishes, to do what we want done, because we're the ones paying for it, we reason. So wealth deceives. Money deceives. But it also deceives the poor. It also deceives the one who has less than he needs or less than he wants. Envy, jealousy, covetousness. These are the things that begin to easily slip into the man's heart whose wallet is empty. Why can't I have what they have? Bitterness. Bitterness begins to seep into our hearts, and we begin to think rich people are evil and they're out of touch with the real world and they are selfish and they are all self-centered and they are cruel and wealth is a horrible thing. And we forget that many good men of God were wealthy. Abraham was wealthy. David was wealthy. Solomon was wealthy. Job was wealthy. Discontentment sometimes, not just bitterness, but discontentment and self-pity can begin to seep into our hearts and we can begin to kind of wallow in our own self-pity. Oh, my life is so difficult. My life is so hard. If I only had what they had, if I could only do what they can do, if I can only go like they go, I would be happy too. My life would be trouble-free too. And all of these deceptions begin to settle into our lives. The bottom line is that rich or poor, money can become the source of our idolatry. We can begin to worship wealth whether we have it or we don't have it. And that goes to the same, not just for rich and poor, but for unbeliever and believer. For the unbeliever, wealth becomes his God. That's what he worships. That's what he's got to keep his focus on, keep his hands on, keep his guard on, protect at all costs. He doesn't need God. He's got money. He can get anything he wants. Why bother with God? He doesn't need God. He can go out and buy it. And if he's not rich, if he's an unbeliever and he's not rich, then that's what he's got to do. He's got to get rich. He's got to get some money. So he'll lie, he'll cheat, he'll steal, he'll cut corners, he'll gamble because he believes that wealth will fulfill him and not God. That's the unbeliever. Well, how about the believer? The believer, we can be deceived as well. So the believer who is wealthy, he can be in danger of spiritual pride lurking in his heart. He can begin to look down on others and say, look how God has blessed me. I'm a spiritual man. I'm walking with the Lord, and therefore I have all of this abundance. And if you were living right with God, if you had the right theology like I do, if you lived according to the Lord as much as I do, then God would be blessing you too. And the believer who's poor, it's not so much spiritual pride that seeps in his heart as it is doubt. Spiritual doubt. He begins to think, well, maybe I don't really believe. Maybe none of this is true. Maybe I'm not living for God. Maybe God doesn't love me. He surely isn't, quote unquote, blessing me like he's blessing Mr. So-and-so. Maybe God doesn't love me. Maybe God doesn't know me. So the believer can be deceived. Even whole congregations can wrongly view money and those who have it and those who don't have it. That's exactly why in the book of James, in the New Testament book of James, he warns against favoritism being shown to the rich man. Because an entire congregation can be skewed in this matter of how to view money. Well, we can't do that. We can't make that move. We can't make that change in our church because we might upset Mr. and Miss So-and-so or that's something that they're involved in, and they're our largest donors. So the point is, there's something here for us all. Every one of us. A call to all. And so then next, the second point in verses 5 through 12, we see the deception of wealth, or the deception of money. What is the deception of wealth for the poor? And as you're working through this psalm, it would seem at least one of those would be intimidation of the wealthy. Might does not make right, and wealth does not make right. And yet the intimidation is real. Wealth can become a means of might, and it can become oppressive. People can misuse their fortunes, their blessing as power over those who do not have that particular blessing. And yet the Bible so clearly rings forth the truth. Don't be intimidated. Don't be intimidated by the wealth of the unbeliever. Because while money can buy a lot of things, that is true, it cannot buy the most important thing. It cannot save your soul. Well, you can purchase a lot with money, but you can't buy heaven. You can't buy forgiveness. You can't buy new birth. You can't buy all the spiritual benefits that come along with it. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19 says, knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ. That's the only way a soul can be purchased, is through Christ. So the deception of money for the poor is to be intimidated, to be run over by those who have money. What is the deception of wealth for the wealthy, for those who have? And many times, as the scripture is saying here, many times that their security becomes tied up in their bank account. They become to make their identity, even their identity of their relationship with the Lord, is tied to how many dollars they represent. And yet the Bible is reminding us, isn't it, You've never seen a U-Haul attached to a hearse, right? That's exactly what the scripture is saying. When we are gone from this life, so is our wealth, and anything that our wealth could do for us is gone as well. And anything we thought our wealth could do for us, that is gone as well. Egyptian pharaohs, you know this, Egyptian pharaohs used to be entombed, and they would be entombed with piles of their riches. All of these golden things would be buried with these Egyptian pharaohs because the the belief was those would be taken into the afterlife with them. And yet you know what archaeologists discover when they uncover ancient Egyptian tombs, right? Well, a mummy comes alive and takes over the world, right? It's hard to tell a joke in a room with only two people sitting in the pew, by the way. If you're at home, laugh. Just laugh at that. No, that's Hollywood. What happens when archaeologists discover an Egyptian tomb is they discover there's a bunch of gold lying around a mummified corpse. He's dead and gone, and his riches are still there. They didn't go with him. The point is clear. Wealth doesn't go with us beyond the grave. But if you are in Christ, life goes with you beyond the grave. Something that money can't buy. There's nothing wrong with earning wealth. There's nothing wrong with having wealth. There's something horribly wrong with money being our idol. And us looking to money to be our happiness and our life, and even a mark of our spirituality. Don't seek wealth and trust in wealth in those ways. Put treasure in heaven that lasts forever. The treasures of this world are temporary. A poor man and a dead man are both dead men. Riches at that point matter in the least. Not only are they both dead men, they both stand before God. Rich or poor, they both stand before God. And at that point, the bank account is meaningless. Whether it says zero or 1 million or 1 billion, it's meaningless. But the faith balance, the faith account, whether you're rich or poor, means everything. Everything when you stand before God. And every single one of us, apart from the Lord's return, every single one of us will experience death and standing before the Lord. We'll experience standing before the Lord whether or not we experience the rapture. Remember the story that Jesus told of the rich man and Lazarus? The rich man that had all the money, had all the opportunity, had everything before him, could go and come as he pleases, and yet he couldn't get to heaven. Lazarus, the poor man, was welcomed into Abraham's bosom, a picture there of heaven. So there is a deception of wealth in verses 5 through 12. And the third thing is there is a truth about wealth in verses 13 through 15. The deception of wealth, that keeps going from generation to generation. The Bible says that, look at verse 13. The Bible says, "This is the path of those who have foolish confidence. Yet after them," that means after they're dead and gone, "people approve of their boast." People just We don't learn. And we just keep on wanting to be like those who came before us. We want to be famous. We want to be wealthy. We want to grab life. We want to do all of those things because we think that's where life's at. And yet those people who are passed away and are standing before the Lord would speak to us. If the rich man could go back and tell his brothers, he'd tell them, don't do that. The deception of wealth just keeps going from generation to generation, but so does death. So does death keep going from generation to generation, and so does the finality of wealth. People will always be consumed by wealth, and people will always face death. So therefore, we must rightly view money. Look at Psalm 48:14. Just one verse back up from Psalm 49. This is God, our God, forever and ever. He will guide us forever. Remember, we spoke last week that means God is beyond the grave. What's waiting for us beyond the grave is God, not our wealth, not our popularity. Not our possessions, but God. The most important truth about wealth is that it is not the most important thing. It comes and it goes. And it may never come. Jesus said, the poor you will always have with you. But that's not the point, is it? Whether you have it or don't have it. Whether it never comes, the point in all of it is God. To look to God. I've been mentioning Augustine these past two Sundays. He just keeps popping up. And he said of this particular text, this psalm, he says, death is the shepherd of the infidel, but life, and that is Christ, is the shepherd of the faithful. So to the poor, the Bible says, if your life's ambition is to get more money, you will stand before God and you will be empty-handed. And to the rich, the Bible says that if all you have to show for your life is the accumulation of wealth, when you stand before God, you will be empty-handed. But if you receive Christ, rich or poor, God will receive you. Isn't that a wonderful verse in Psalm 49, verse 15? But God will ransom my... What money can't do, God can. God will ransom my soul from the power of Sheol, from the power of death. He will receive me. This is a song of the believer, right? That's the truth about wealth. One commentator writes, death makes a violent divorce between a rich man and his goods. In the day of his death, all of his wealth vanishes, just like a dream vanishes when a sleeper awakens in the night. Now, can money be used for good? Absolutely. Absolutely. To provide for our needs, to provide for our family, to invest in the kingdom of God, to undergird the support of the gospel to the ends of the earth. Money can be used for marvelous, wonderful things. And if you have money, if you have wealth, in fact, that's why you have it, to do good to the glory of God. But the danger of wealth is that it deceives in 100 ways. So if we have money, we have to be wise to its deceptions. But the danger of no wealth is that it deceives in 100 ways. So we have to be wise when we're lacking funds. And so, closing in verses 16 through 20, we see how to view wealth, how to see and handle money in these last five verses. And we could say of these verses, because money doesn't really make you anything, it doesn't last forever, it doesn't make us right with God, it's no indicator that you are right with God, do not boast in it. Do not boast in it if you have it. Do not be intimidated by it if you don't have it. Because at the end of life, wealth is nothing. But praise does not belong to those who have money or to those who accumulate wealth. Praise belongs to God. Because he's the one who gives, and he's the one who takes, and he's the one who wills what he wills for his glory and our good. Therefore, listen to this, church. If God has given you an increase, he means to increase your joy by increasing your giving. If God has given you an abundance, he doesn't mean for you to hoard it. He means for you to spread it for his glory. Look at Luke 12. Luke 12, remember the rich man and he had an abundance of crops. Remember what he said? I'm going to build bigger barns. I'm going to store all this. I'm going to keep all this abundance. And the Lord said, the Spirit said, you foolish man, your soul is going to be required of you this very night. And what's going to happen with all of this that you stored? So if God has given us an increase, he means to increase our joy in him by taking part in him in giving to the glory of his name. If God has not given us an increase, if our bank account line stays just barely above 0.00, then God means to increase our joy by increasing our trust in him, by increasing our reliance upon him and his provision, to see our joy in him increase. You see, wealth is not to be praised. The wealthy are not to be praised. God is to be praised. So this message is for everyone, isn't it? For the rich, the Bible says, hope in God, not in riches. For the poor, the Bible says, hope in God, not in the desire for riches. Riches cannot and will not save, but if you are in Christ, rich or poor, you are eternally rich in God. And that treasure never fails. The Bible says that in Christ, he has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. It simply never gets better than that, and the world and every dollar in it could never purchase it. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this wonderful reminder. Sometimes we get so wrapped up and frizzled and let down and discouraged or over prideful about the number that's in our checking account. Help us, Father, to be faithful. Help us to be good stewards. Help us to be responsible. But yet, Lord, most importantly, help us to have faith in you. Help us to not let money become an idol, whether we have it or don't have it. May we worship you. May we worship you in our abundance. May we worship you in our lack. All for the glory of your name. Help us this week. Help us to move through another week. We'll hear more numbers. We'll hear more news. More things will inevitably change this week. Help us to keep our eyes on you and our hearts still before the Lord. Teach us and help us learn. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
You have been listening to the sermon ministry of Will Owens, pastor of Grassy Pond Baptist Church, Gaffney, South Carolina. Be sure to visit willowens.com to hear more sermons, read blogs, and learn more about the missions branch P67 Missions. Again, thank you for listening to Will Owens.